Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
I want to ask you this morning, why should we trust in God? Why should we trust in God? Now, I know there are many pat answers, and I could give you many responses and many answers about why we should trust in God. But let's be honest. It is much easier for us to talk about trusting in God than it is to actually place our trust in God. It's one thing to talk about how precious it is to trust God with every aspect of our life. It's another thing to put it into practice. And I can tell you from experience, it's a lot easier for me to talk about trusting God than to simply trust God. And yet that is what God asks of us to do. That's what He wants of our life. And what we're going to be finding out this morning is that when you trust in God, then God guides your life. Now I want you to just think in on that one factor here this morning. When I trust God, God guides me. God leads me. Now, our text today is one that ought to be very familiar to you. It's one that I quote quite often. It's one that hopefully you learned early in your life. And even more than that, I hope it's one that you have learned to apply to your life and that you live in that. It was given to us by God, of course, as He inspired Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest man on earth of his day. But he gives Solomon these words that Solomon shared with us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And the scripture simply says there, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Now, we've been talking about leaning on the everlasting arms. We've been talking about leaning on Jesus. We've been singing about how we are to trust God in our life. Well, I want you to know that this word that God gives us today is an absolute promise, but it is also a conditional promise. It's absolute in the sense that God will absolutely, He will fulfill what He says if we meet His conditions. That's the same way in so many aspects of our life. We ask God to bless us, but often we don't prepare our hearts and prepare our lives for the blessing that God wants to give us. So often we talk about that we want the guilt removed from our life. But sometimes we neglect to repent of our sins so they will be forgiven so that the guilt can be removed. We will find that many of the promises of God upon our life are conditional promises. And in this particular passage of Scripture, there are really only two simple parts. One is that we are to trust God. And second, God is to guide us. And if we want God to guide us, then we have got to be willing to trust Him. And if we're going to trust Him, that means that we must surrender our desires, surrender our will, surrender what we want into the hands of God, and allow God to guide us in the way that He wants us to go. Now, let me also say this. That when we truly trust God to lead us and to guide us, and when we truly surrender to Him so that He will lead us and guide us, then we will always experience victory in our life. If you are willing to simply put self aside and trust God, He will guide you. He will make your path straight. He will direct your path, if you're using the King James Version. And He will enable you to overcome any obstruction, any obstacle that Satan or the world will place in your path in order that His will might be done through your life. Now, when you trust God, three things are going to take place. And here's where you begin to follow in your outline. Three things will begin to take place. Number one, you will be confident in God's care for you. I will be confident in God's care for me. Now, that just simply means, God, I know who You are. I know that You're a God of love. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. I know that You're a God who is holy. We talked about that last week. I know that You are the Almighty God. You are omnipotent. You're all-powerful. I know that You are the omnipresent God, that You're a God who is in everywhere at the same time. I know that You're omniscient as God, that You're all-knowing. I know, God, that You are all in all. You are everything. You are everything. God, I trust You. Now notice in this passage of Scripture that verse 5 begins, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now I want you to notice there are two places or two times in these two verses where the word all is given. You know what the word all means? It means all. It means everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, whether you want to interpret that and translate that from the Hebrew or from the Greek Septuagint, or whether you want to translate it from English, it still has the same meaning. It means everything. With all your heart. How do you do that? I've heard people tell other people, I love you with all my heart. Have y'all heard that? Anybody ever told you that? I hope they have, especially if you're married now, Brad. What do we mean by that? We mean that with everything within us, with all that we are, all that we hope to be, all that encompasses our life, that we commit ourselves to somebody else with all that we are. The passage said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With everything that is within you, trust God. Now that's easier said than done. It really is. Literally, that word trust with all your heart literally is speaking about stretching out on, that word trust, to stretch out on or to lay down on, to put all your weight on. Let me give you an example of that. When you went to bed last night, if some of you were tired, you probably said, I just fell into bed. I just fell into the bed. But regardless of whether you were tired or not, when you got into bed, you sat down on that bed, you laid back on that bed, you put all your weight on that bed. You trusted that bed to hold you up. You didn't hold on to the frame. You didn't keep one foot on the floor. You just put all of your weight, all of your trust, in essence, in the bed. The Hebrew word for trust there literally means to stretch out on, to lay out on, to put all of your life and all of the risk upon that bed. To trust in the Lord means you're putting all of your life, all of your weight, all that you are, all that you hope to be, into the hands of God. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying to us here is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now let me say this. God deserves our total trust. Look at His character. And you'll know that God cannot lie and God can never fail you because of who God is. God is a God who will not go back on His promise to you. You can trust Him. God is always faithful. And sometimes people are going to let you down. But God will never let you down. You can trust Him because of the character of who He is. You can trust God because of His wisdom. His wisdom makes it impossible for Him to fail us because God cannot make a mistake. He always does what is right. You can trust Him because of His wisdom, because of His character, because of His holiness. And we talked about that last week. So I'm not going to go into a lot about that to repeat that to you, except to say, God is a holy, pure, perfect, just, totally righteous God. And He will always do what is right. You can trust God. And so what we need to do in our heart and in our life is to be confident in God's care for me. I'm confident that God is going to do and God is going to be what God has said He would be and what God has said He would do. And I know that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, I know I can trust God. And because of that, then I also know that I'm not to lean to my own understanding. Next phrase there. I'm not to lean to my own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to just put reason and what our knowledge and our intellect off to the side and just go around with no clue. That doesn't mean that. What he's saying there is that when it comes to the guidance of my life, I am not going to just do what I think I ought to do. I'm going to look to God and ask Him to guide me because I trust Him. And I'm confident of His care for me. And because I'm confident of that, I know that I can trust Him to make the right decision as I follow Him with my life. Solomon goes on to say in verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 10:23. He said, "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps." It's not for a man to direct his steps. Now let me just say right here, that goes in direct contrast to what most people do in this world. It goes in direct contrast to what most Christians do in this world. Because most of the time, we do what we think is right. When it comes time to make a decision, what do? We sit down and we try to weigh all the options, don't we? We try to set out our budget. We try to weigh everything out like we think it ought to be. And then we make a decision based upon that. And we hope it's right. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't give priority to your understanding. But instead, give priority to what God wants and directs for your life. Let me give you some examples of that. When King David, before he became king, when he fought Goliath, you remember that? Remember what Saul tried to get him to do? Saul told him, "Son, you're just a young boy, just a young teenager. You're going up against a giant of a man, a seasoned warrior. What I want you to do is put on my armor, carry my sword." Solomon put his own armor on David, gave David his sword, and told him to go out. That was a reasonable thing to do. That was a reasonable action to take. That was a responsible thing to do. But God said, "David, all you need is a slingshot and about 5 or 6 smooth stones. And you know the result." I'm sure there were a lot of people who thought when Noah began to build that ark out in the middle of the wilderness, out in the middle of a desert, no water anywhere around. When he began to build that ship, and you can look up the measurements yourself, a lot of people thought that is the most foolish thing in the world to do. That is the most irresponsible thing. Noah, why are you building a boat out here in the middle of the desert? They laughed at him. They scoffed at him. They made fun of him. They thought he'd lost his mind. He'd gone crazy. But God had told him, Noah, build me an ark. Told him exactly the dimensions for it. And by the way, those same dimensions, for the most part, are in comparison, are still used today. But God told him, you build that ark because God had a purpose for Noah's life. And you know the result. I'm sure that when the children of Israel came upon the land of Jericho and the city of Jericho there, and they looked at how they were going to conquer that city with the high walls, the thick walls, how they were going to accomplish that. Joshua said, let's just march around the city. They marched around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. And you know the results. People would have said, that's not reasonable. That's not going to do any good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Be confident of God's care for you. That's the reason in the New Testament the Bible tells us not to be filled with anxiety, not to be filled with fear, but to trust God because He cares for you. I will be confident in God's care for me. But the second thing, I will be committed to God's purpose for me. I will be committed to God's purpose for me. Notice the next phrase there. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I want you to get that word all again. In all your ways. Now, the word way speaks of the totality of your life. It speaks of your lifestyle. In all of your lifestyle and all of the happenings of your life and all of the events of your life and all of the ways of your life, of everything that happens in your life, acknowledge God. Now, what does that word acknowledge mean? What is He saying to us here when He speaks of that? That word acknowledge means to gaze upon, to look upon, and to direct your life according to. And so what He's saying, in every way of your life, you seek God's direction. You seek God's guidance. You seek God's purpose for this thing happening. Now, I can tell you right off the bat, there are a lot of things in my life that I don't understand why they are happening. There are a lot of things that have happened in your life. There are a lot of things that I have seen in you and problems you've gone through that I have no answer for. I don't know why people get cancer. I don't know why we lose our job, our person gets fired. I don't know why some of the things happen in this world. But I do know this. I know that God is still in control. And I know that God's purpose will be accomplished. And I know that a lot of times He's simply trying to teach me and show me and maybe warn me. So I will acknowledge and look to Him instead of trying to do it myself. and I'm a man, and guys, you know what I'm talking about here. I don't even like to ask for directions when I'm not sure which way to go. I'm a man. I'll try to figure it out myself. And sometimes I end up in a ditch. But I'm here to tell you that if we acknowledge God, if we look to Him, if we trust Him, if we commit our way to Him, in all of our ways, that God will always bring victory in our life. We may not see it. And I'm convinced there are some victories in our life we're not going to see till we get to heaven. But the victory will still be won whether we see it or not. If you don't believe that, read Hebrews, the 11th chapter sometimes and see how that people put their faith in God when they could not yet see the reality. It's the same way with your salvation. I will be committed to the purpose of God, to God's purpose for me. I want to challenge you here today. I want to challenge our church that we be confident in God's care, and that we be committed to God's purpose. Because I'm here to tell you that until we reach those two points in our life, then we cannot realize the third point, which is to be controlled by God's will for me. Notice that last phrase. He will make your path straight. Now again, I want to remind you that this is a conditional promise. You're not going to be controlled by the will of God until, first of all, you are confident in God's care and committed to God's purpose. There's a reason that God gave us these two verses in the order that He gave them. It's the conditional promise of God's guidance and God's direction. Isaiah said in Isaiah 58:11, he said, the Lord will guide you always. Psalm 32:8, which I read to you earlier, and I tried to emphasize that verse. The psalmist said, God said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Here's what I'm saying. If you are willing to let God take the driver's seat of your life, if you're willing to surrender to allowing God to direct, to guide your life, He will make sure that your life safely reaches its destination. How many of you have seen those bumper stickers years ago that said, God is my co-pilot? That's a misnomer. That's totally false. God is either the pilot or you don't have Him at all. And what the Bible is telling us to do is to surrender to God's will for our life. To allow God control of your life. Not just when you get in trouble. Not just on Sunday morning from 9 to whenever the preacher finally lets you out. But to give God control of your life. Self out of the way. Well, then how does God guide us when we surrender to Him? There are three things that usually God uses, at least in my life, I'm sure in your life as well, to guide us to know His will and to follow His will. One is through the Scriptures. It's through God's Word. One great preacher said that 95% of the will of God is found, and you can know God's will 95% of the time right through His Word. And he said the other 5% you can find by following the other 95% that's already revealed to you. In other words, God will reveal through His Word His will for your life. Can I tell you something? It may not be reasonable in your eyes. You may want to wear the Saul's, King Saul's armor and the sword when you go out to fight the devil. But God may want you to have that slingshot and those five stones so that God receives the glory and you don't. He can reveal through His Word, and why it's so important that you be in His Word. He can reveal His will to you, and He will through His Word. Sometimes He does it through the conviction of His Spirit. All of you have experienced temptation. If you're a child of God, you've also experienced that conviction of the Spirit. When you were about to do wrong and you got that warning in your spirit, in your heart. Or when you did wrong and you felt the guilt crush upon you because of the sin you just committed. The Spirit guides and directs us. It's so precious. When Jesus calls Him the Paraclete or the Comforter, Jesus would say, I must go so the Comforter will come to guide you, to rebuke you, to lead you, to direct you, so that the Spirit will lead you and so that you can make the right decisions in your life as you follow God. Be open to the moving of the Spirit in your life. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Listen to what the Spirit has to say. And if you'll do that, He'll guide you in the way you ought to go. One of the most precious gifts that you have is the Spirit of God in your life, speaking to you, guiding you, and directing you. Be controlled by the will of God as He guides you in your life. The third way that often God will reveal His will to us is through godly advisors. I don't know how else to put that. You see, you ought to be accountable to somebody else. You ought to have some people that you can go to, that you look up to, that you respect, that you know are godly serving people who love God and who are striving to live for God. You ought to find somebody in your life and look to them for godly advice. Some of you don't even know it, but I look to you for godly advice. I'll run things by you sometimes. And maybe you don't even realize what I'm getting at, but a lot of times I'll look to some of you and I'll ask you some questions or I'll be talking with you and get your opinion about something. And what I am doing in most of these cases, I'm filling you out to see where you are. Because I respect you as a godly person. And I know, I'm wise enough to know, and I'm not very wise, but I'm wise enough to know that I'm not that smart. And that I don't always make the right decisions. But I can trust God. I can look to Him. I can search His Scripture. I can listen to His Spirit. And I can listen to you. And together, God will bring us to the right decision. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. I want you this week, I want you to know that you know that you know that you're in the hand of God, and that you're walking in His will, and that He's working and living through you to accomplish His purpose as He guides you through this journey of life. You know, We only have one life to live. We only have a short time on this earth. Regardless of if we live to be 100 years old, the Bible says that's just like a breath of air compared to eternity. The choices we make and the direction we go and the life that we live on this earth is our one chance. Our one chance to get it right. God promises you get it right when you follow Him. Trust Him. Commit yourself to Him. Allow Him to control your steps. That's the way to successful life. That's the way to go down the right path. That's the way to win the victory. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. Because it means surrender of ourselves. And so I'm asking you here today, surrender yourself into the hands of God. Now for some of you, that may mean asking Him to come and be Lord of your life. It may mean coming for salvation. For others, it may mean coming to this altar and getting self out of the way and saying, Lord, I'm not going my way anymore. I'm going your way. I surrender to you. For some of you, it may mean finding advice, godly advice, by being in the church that God wants you to be in. And if God is leading you to be a part of Ridgecrest, then you need to come. You don't need to wait. And be where God wants you to be as He leads us. Would you do that? Let's stand together. You surrender your heart to the Lord, you come. You make that public today. You come as we sing.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.